May only his word be spoken, only his word heard. Amen. Not too good to be true from our gospel lesson this Easter Sunday. Most of us have seen some things or heard some things that we will never forget. Be with us all our lives. One of mine is going to a hospital room to visit my grandfather, who was dying of liver disease. It was a traumatic visit. I was with my dad, and he was in turmoil visiting his father. What made our visit so terribly troubling was that my grandfather was being restrained. He had straps around his body, and he had restraints on his wrists. He kept wanting to pull out the IVs. Here's what it made it so very, very hard. He kept begging his son, my dad, to untie him. And he said this, and I'll never forget these words. "Son, if you love me, take these off." You can just imagine how agonizing it was for my father, not knowing really what to do. Now, I've often thought about that scene and about those restraints and those straps. And it occurs to me that many, many, many people deal with this all their lives. Now, of course, I'm speaking metaphorically, that they have straps on them and restraints on them. What are the motivations? What are the temptations? The overpowering desires? And yes, the pervasive evil that has us bound, myself included. We claim we are free, but in subtle ways, and some not so subtle ways, we're dragged down. There's a spiritual blindness that obscures the fact that we need saving. Now, I hear a lot of people say, "Saving? I mean, life is going good for me. Everything's okay. I don't need saving." But they don't realize they're saying this all the while the restraints are on them. The straps are on them. It's the straps that hold them to their old self. They haven't been freed. The whole purpose for Jesus coming into this world was to set us free. Easter is a spectacular display that he meant to change everything for you. Everything. How many times did the disciples hear that Jesus would be handed over, crucified, die, buried, but on the third day he would rise again? And you know, Mary Magdalene heard that promise too. She heard all that the disciples heard. And yet Mary, staring right at the empty tomb, doesn't seem to see it, to get it. Why doesn't she say to herself, "Oh, I remember. Jesus said he would suffer and die, and then on the third day, he would rise from the dead." But that thought never seemed to occur to her. None of the disciples were prepared for that morning, that Easter morning. Wasn't it too good to be true? Surprise is a big element in people who come to believe in Jesus. I've seen it. They're surprised by what it means in their life. They think differently. They have a different attitude. They're free from old compulsions. Sometimes these are dramatic, and other times, no, it's not so dramatic because a lot of their compulsions were hidden and never really acted on. But they're still there. free of a violent anger, free of that overwhelming lust, free of having to be right all the time, free of alcohol and drug addiction, free from having to think of themselves all the time. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that these people, us, we don't sin anymore. Of course we do. And we do wrong. But that impulse is not in control anymore. We're freed. The restraints have come off. All this was put into motion. The power of the resurrection, the unleashing of the Spirit, it began on that first Easter. The Spirit was given after Jesus ascended into heaven. And with it, things that would take place in the lives of believers throughout the world and is still happening today. I think it's very important that you know and believe that Jesus truly was resurrected from the dead and that he's alive now. There's lots of evidence of this. I'm just going to present 4 points of evidence that Jesus literally rose bodily from the grave. First, let's begin with the account we just heard from the Gospel of John. When Peter and John got to the tomb, they saw the linens, the face cloth, right? The word to see there is blepo, and it doesn't mean just to look at something. It means they thought about it, that they pondered. What's going on here? They saw the strips of linen and the face cloth, which was folded up neatly by itself. Now, if Jesus had gotten up and revived, wouldn't the cloth be all torn up and unraveled? If friends had taken the body, would they have dishonored it by taking it away naked? No, I don't think so. And if enemies had done this, why would they fold up the face cloth nice and neat? Why would they do that? They wouldn't. If this is all a fabricated account, then why these troubling details? And why, if you were making it all up, would you have a woman to be the first eyewitness? Because women's testimony in that day was considered unreliable and inadmissible in Roman courts, in Jewish courts, in courts anywhere in the world. Why would you do this if it was all a fabrication? Wouldn't you have your facts right? Well, the reason for this is simple. Because he actually did rise from the dead. Second point of evidence is radically changed lives. After Jesus' crucifixion, where did the 11 disciples go? 11 disciples went to an upper room where they were scared out of their wits that crucifixion was going to happen to them just as it happened to their master. Imagine yourself as a disciple, and you saw the worst way a person could die. Crucifixion was that, the absolute worst way. I won't go into the details of why it was, but a lot of you know it already. What would you have done if you were a disciple? I would have got out of town. You know, they did the next best thing. They hid up in an upper room. But then Jesus appears to them. And everything changes. Everything. They're out on the streets proclaiming that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he's the Messiah, that he's given the gift of eternal life to all who believe in him. And they even felt it a privilege to get beaten up for proclaiming that message. They were happy about it. And every one of them meets a cruel end. But not one of them recants. Nobody says, yeah, we made it all up. Nobody said that. Third bit of evidence. For 2,000 years, the Jews had worshiped, their holy day was the Sabbath, Saturday. Saturday. But the Jews who came to see Jesus as Messiah, it all changes. The holy day becomes, the day of worship, becomes Sunday. Now, what possibly could cause this momentous change? Well, there's only one thing, you know it. Jesus was raised on a, say it. And the Father himself changed the day of worship. And he reaffirmed that change when he sent the Holy Spirit to all of us on the day of Pentecost, which the original Pentecost was on the what day of the week? Not Thursday. Sunday! This is evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. It only could be that that would change this ingrained habit. And then there's the fourth and final evidence that I provide you today, and that is that Jesus lives in millions upon millions of people, and they were made different by our risen Savior and our Lord. And I count myself one of those. I can say with Job, I know my Redeemer lives because he's made a lot of changes in my life. Now, it would take too long to illustrate all of those, and I'm not sure I want to do that anyway. But you'll have to believe me, I have changed in a lot of significant ways. Many years ago, still happening, still needs to happen. But countless others, true believers, would say the same thing. Jesus lives in me, and he's carving me out the way he wants me to be. What set this all in motion is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. When Jesus rose from the dead, a power was unleashed throughout the world, a power that when people believed in Jesus came into them and caused the straps to be broken and the wrist restraints and all the restraints to come undone. You know, many people have the gospel wrong, the good news of Jesus Christ. And here's what they do. They assume this, that we amass a good record, we give it to God, and then he saves us. That's not it. The gospel is that Jesus amassed a perfect record, and when we believe in him, he gives it to us. He lived the life that we should have lived. He died the death that we should have died. He stands in our place, and he gives us his righteousness. And more than that, he gives us the power to live a life that glorifies him. Now that power of Jesus' Spirit is unleashed in our lives, and it's not too good to be true. It can make us different people. The old life no longer dominant. He pours his love into our lives. We can be generous. We can forgive. We can love. We can be kind. We can have joy. And it goes on and on because of his continual flowing of his Spirit into us. And one more thing, and this is an important one. We can be fearless and unashamed of Jesus. I know for a lot of Christians, this is a growing thing, that they are sometimes embarrassed to be Christians. But not when the Holy Spirit's moving in your life. I have a terrible story to illustrate this, and I found it was a little bit offensive to some in the early, but I'm just going to tell it the way it is, okay? And there's this man and his wife, and they had a cat. Now, this cat came with the marriage to the woman, and the man despised the cat. Some people are dog people, some people are cat people. If you're a cat person, please excuse me. The cat was always under his feet, always scratching marks on the furniture, always shedding cat hairs on his pants. Finally, while the wife was away visiting her mother one weekend, he disposed of the cat. I won't tell you the details of how he did that, but the cat was gone. His wife came home and she was in hysterics. Where is the cat? Where is the cat? She refused to be at peace about this cat being gone. She loved the cat. To comfort her, her loving husband made a grand gesture. He took out an ad in the newspaper and he offered a $1,000 reward for the safe return of the cat. His best friend came to the house and said, "Are you crazy? $1,000 for that cat? And you didn't even like that cat." The man looked at his friend and smiled. "When you know what I know, you can afford to take a risk." The cat wasn't coming back. That most remarkable story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the change that took place in the early disciples, the early Christians. They became absolutely fearless and unstoppable. And why not? If other people knew what they knew, they'd have their life changed too. We don't need to be ashamed that we're Christians. In fact, we can be more and more bold. Don't let another Easter go by without it making a huge difference in your life. You can be a different person, and you can be a better person. You can break free of all those evil restraints that are custom to you and keep you being that selfish, unbelieving, and ultimately miserable person. You don't have to remain there. Come to church every Sunday. Let the Word of God be transfused into your life and continually transforming you. Resolve to read the New Testament this year. I've been asking our congregation here, and if you're visiting with us this morning, you could still do it. Read the New Testament. It's not a large book. You say, "Well, I have trouble with Christianity." Well, have you ever read the New Testament? Do you even know what you have trouble with? Read it. Get the unvarnished truth in your life and let your mind be revamped, altered. Let the Holy Spirit come and change your brain as much as it changes your heart. And start praying. Make it a habit. Don't go a day without saying prayers. And ask God for anything. And note how your prayers change as you grow in the faith. Because Easter happened, because Jesus lives, a new you is not too good to be true. In Jesus' name and to His glory, amen. Would you please rise? Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, now and always. Amen. We have a beautiful Christmas. I like Christmas too. Easter Creed. Would you say it with me as a confession of faith, but also as something that you truly believe and you want to see change your life? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, who sent His Son as my Savior to arise Easter morning. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died on Good Friday, rose again on Easter morning to free me from the curse of sin and the sting of death and the power of the devil. I believe in the Holy Ghost, who has brought me to faith in Christ of Easter, and by whose continuous work in my heart, I am ever led to be steadfast and unmovable, always abounding in the work of my resurrected Lord. Amen. Well said. You may be seated.